Welcome once again to Forgotten Word radio program with Bob Wise from Forgotten Word Ministries. Today I want to talk a little bit about an article I read just the other day, actually, on the internet by a gentleman named Adam McHugh, who I don't know a whole lot about. I just happened to read his article, and I was kind of taken back by it, to be quite honest with you. Let me go ahead and read the small, just smart article, then I'll make some comments. It's entitled, Why I Sometimes Lie About My Profession. I have a confession to make. Sometimes I lie when people ask me what I do for a living. Okay, that's a touch dramatic. It's not as if I tell people that I'm an astronaut or the guy who invented salad in a bag. I'm just not always forthcoming with words like pastor or chaplain. And if I say writer and they ask me what I write, I cover it up a bit. I'll say, I write about the intersection of psychology and religious behavior. It's not because I'm ashamed of what I do. It's really not. I rarely volunteer that I'm a hospice chaplain because it's the ultimate conversation killer. I'm the only person I know who has the ability to suck the life out of the most raucous party by merely saying what it is I do for a living. People look at me as though I just said, I'm a professional sniper and you are my next target. I witnessed this just the other week. I was sitting in an animated Irish bar after I visited Congress with some friends and a couple of my wife's co-workers who didn't know what I did. Everyone was laughing, having a good time, and then one of them asked what I did. I'm a hospice chaplain. I provide spiritual and emotional support for people who are dying and for their families who are watching them die. The gas went out of that party like the Hindenburg. And these were all Christians. I don't always volunteer to strangers that I'm a pastor because it instantly changes the conversation. I first learned this when I was in seminary and I lived right across the street from a golf course. I would play in the afternoons and then I'd get paired up with strangers because all my friends were studying or whatever. You can't spend more than 4 minutes with men before someone asks what you do. Well, back then, I was much more bold about what I did, and when I said I go to seminary, the response I received was universally this. Oh, I hope my cousin hasn't offended you. Well, I always was tempted to say, nope, what has offended me is how you take 4 practice swings before you shank the ball into the woods. But what I don't like is how the mention of my job changes how people act around me. I start out interacting with real people in t-shirts and jeans, and I end up interacting with people in their Sunday best. People have no idea what to say to me or what questions to ask, and so everything turns to the awkward. Sometimes my golf partners would not talk to me for the rest of the round. My sense is that most of them hide, not because they are hostile to religion, but because they are ashamed or afraid because of bad past encounters with other religious types. What I'm actually trying to do when I am ambiguous in my answer to the question, what do you do, is to keep the conversation going. I want to learn about them. Well, when I play golf, I just want to play golf and discover what's important to them. I'm not looking for an opening, but I am genuinely curious. I'm a listener by nature, but when I blindside people with my religious career, I find that they are reluctant to reveal much about themselves. I want to have a conversation as two human beings, not, in their perception, as sinful person to holy person. Sometimes after I have listened and asked questions and shown a genuine interest in them, I will subtly sneak what I do into the conversation. Usually at this point, their response will be much more positive and curious. The guy who might have been a religious crazy at the beginning of the conversation has suddenly become, interesting because I have listened. The end of the article. Now, I don't know what anybody that just listened to that article thinks, but I'm going to tell you what I think. The day I become too ashamed or embarrassed to stand in front of anybody and proclaim my work for the Lord, the commission that He gave me, I have no business proclaiming to be any kind of Christian or a pastor or a teacher of any type of Christian studying. None. Nada. Zip zero. I just don't care, folks. This world, the people in this world have gotten to the point where the end justifies the means. If that was the case, Jesus would have told the disciples, and we'd have read about it in the Bible, it would have been very simple. I don't care how you get them to me, go out and get them. If you got to lie to them, lie to them. If you got to cheat them, cheat them. If you got to beat them over the head and drag them in here or hypnotize them, do it. Just get them to me. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what the Lord taught. It's not what the Lord God taught. What in God's name and what in humanity's name is this guy trying to say? He says it's not that he's ashamed. Well, if he's not ashamed, maybe he needs to learn how to talk. If somebody asks me what I do, I tell them I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I say it in a way that's not condemning to them or offensive to them or anything. This man could very easily say, oh, I'm a minister and I work with people in hospice. That's, you know, a lot of folks that are, you know, dying of cancer or got a terminal disease. They need somebody to talk to, and I try to be that guy. Now, that sounds great. Now, who's going to complain about that? Oh, yeah, if you want to sit around and bring it on to I provide spiritual and emotional support for people who are dying and for families who are watching them die. Who in the, my gosh, what kind of an attitude does this guy have? Why would he even begin to say something like that? I provide support and emotional and spiritual for people who are dying and for their families who are watching them die. Well, sure, the gas went out of the party like the Hindenburg. And number, let's go back to that statement. The party, they're sitting in the bar having brewskis. They're sitting in the bar drinking. He said that they were sitting in an animated, whatever that is, Irish bar after I visited Congress with some friends and a couple of my wife's co-workers. What's he doing sitting in a bar drinking anyway? What kind of witness is that? Sit in the bar and have a soda water, you know, club soda and lime or something. You don't have to drink alcohol to be able to talk to people. He shouldn't have been in there drinking and having a party to start with. A minister of the gospel is a serious, serious, the most serious occupation on planet Earth. There is no more serious occupation on planet Earth. Not the governor, the president, nobody, no kings of any countries, nobody has a more serious job to do, a more serious occupation to do than someone who is ministering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man tells me he talks, this is what he says. Now, if he didn't really say this, then why is he writing it down that he did? Why is he telling us that he used wordings like this? Well, of course, the people would look at him like, man, you're strange. Well, I would too. I said, what do you mean? You said, how do you give people emotional support for people who are dying and for families who are watching them die? That's no way to talk. You say you're providing support to the people who are terminal and that you're trying to be as much support to the family members as possible. That's what you do. You don't say they're watching them die. How crude. And he wonders why the party balloon burst. Well, sure, the party balloon, he burst it. Nobody else. He did it because he don't know how to communicate. He doesn't know how to take the Lord's call. Let's back that up. If he was called by God, that's one thing. I think he would have done a much better job. But I'm not sure that any minister who claims to be able to talk this way was actually called by God to start with. They might have took the job. They might have applied for a job or went to seminary to be a preacher because they wanted to, or somebody told them to, or they thought it was a good living, or something, or daddy was, grandpa was, something, but it hadn't, or they got an emotional high, and that's their spiritual walk, is an emotional high. Excuse me. But it has nothing to do with a calling. If the Lord God calls you to be a minister, to go out and minister as a minister, a preacher of His word, you will do right. The Lord will be with you. The Holy Spirit will guide and direct you. I meet preachers every day. I don't want to say every day. That's not true. I meet preachers all the time who they have no Holy Ghost in them at all. And I don't mean by that they don't talk in tongues, but they have no Holy Spirit in them. Well, how can they be Christians without the Holy Spirit inside them? Don't ask me. They can't. I can't find anything the Bible says that they can. But there's a lot of them claiming they can. And that's what this world's coming to, folks. The ends justify the means. You can have churches where there's cussing. You can have churches where all they want to talk about is sex. You can have churches where all they want to talk about is themselves. You can have churches where it's all feel good. My calling is not to preach the gospel. My calling is to give people a little bit of encouragement. I was called by God to encourage people. So they never talk about anything except, you know, how great they are, how much God's going to do for them. All these people claim to be saved, but none of the, so many, millions that claim to be saved have never repented of their sins. Never. All they've done is taken somebody's word for, if you say, Jesus, I trust you, then bang, you're saved. You never repented of nothing. You never even knew what you were supposed to repent of anything. You didn't know you was a sinner to start with. The only thing you knew was things weren't going as good as you wanted. This guy said things would be better if you said, Jesus loves me and I believe him. And so you did, because after all, you want things better for you, don't you? Not for one second did they think about things better for what? For when? How about you accepted Jesus into your heart? You became a new creature. And that's another topic we're going to cover in the next few days. You become a new creature. What did Paul mean when he said he kept the faith? He fought a good fight. Nowadays, you don't have to do anything but say, Jesus, I trust you, be my Savior, bang, you're saved. You can do anything and everything you want to do. You do not have to walk any walk. You don't have to talk any talk. You don't have to do nothing. You're saved. Now go about your life doing anything and everything you want to do, no matter what it means, no matter who it hurts. All you care about yourself doesn't matter, because after all, you're saved. I'd like to know what they're saved from. They're saved from Jesus. I guarantee you that's one thing they're saved from, because they never got him. When you get Jesus in your heart, you're a different person. Anybody who's ever truly accepted Jesus Christ and had him repent of their sins and Jesus come into their life, they're a different person. But you see all these people that you maybe knowed all your lives who claim to become Christians who aren't any different than they was when you knew them before. There's no witness. No witness. Is this the kind of witness this guy's got, hanging out in a bar and telling, lying to people? He says, that's why I sometimes lie about what I do for a living. Admitted that he's a liar. The Bible says those who are liars never enter the gates of heaven. You never enter in. So, well, this man's going to hell and he don't even realize it and he admits it. What's wrong with preachers today? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They're not preachers. They're phonies. They're fakes. They're out there to make a living. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how much influence they got. That doesn't bother me in the least. Not in the least. They might be counsel to the President of the United States. I don't care who they're counsel to. If their counselor isn't Jesus Christ, they can counsel anybody they want. I could care less. It doesn't mean anything. They're fooling themselves. They're lying to themselves while they're lying to you. And that's what this guy here did. He lies, and he admits he lies. And he says it's okay to lie, because after all, the ends justify the means. Well, it don't. So, Adam McHugh, I'm here to tell you, son. Call me up. Talk to me. Anytime you want to, give me a buzz. 309-544-6782. www.forgottenword.org. Join us again tomorrow. God bless you. We love you. God loves you. If I don't see you this side of heaven, I'll see you at the roll call. See you tomorrow.